Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We continue with a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. When we pray, Thy will be done, we're simply asking God to do what He wants to do. Whatever God wants to do is God's will. Praying, Thy will be done, might at first seem to be a rather useless thing to pray, because obviously God is going to do what He wants to do, whether or not we ask Him. He's free. He's not under anyone else's power. He's almighty. Nobody can oppose God's will and get away with it. So why should we pray, Thy will be done? We pray, Thy will be done, because Jesus tells us to. Praying the Lord's Prayer is not an option for Christians. It's a requirement. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of the church, the Lord of heaven and earth, tells us to pray, Thy will be done. And that's why we pray, Thy will be done. And second, we pray, Thy will be done, because God's will is good for us. When we, as God's children, ask God to do for us what God wants to do for us, we're expressing our faith in Him as our Father. The Catechism calls God's will the good and gracious will of God. But is it? Is God's will good? Is it gracious? It was August of 1994, and my sister-in-law Jean lay in a coma in a hospital in Michigan. She suffered terribly from severe depression, and a few days earlier had tried to take her own life. The damage to her brain was so severe that we were thinking that death for her would be preferable to living as a vegetable. My parents were visiting my family in Racine on the way to Michigan to see my brother and his children. Mom and Dad went for a walk with Dort and me along the shore of Lake Michigan to the Racine Zoo and back. The conversation was very subdued, and then Dad made an observation that has remained embedded in my mind ever since. He said that of all the great theologians the Church has produced, Luther was the greatest, because Luther permitted, he would not permit one truth about God to stand in opposition to another truth about God. Specifically, he confessed both the love of God and the almighty power of God and refused to permit either to contradict the other. God is love. God is almighty. But how could a loving God permit what happened to Jean? Couldn't he have prevented it? Jean was a lovely Christian woman. My wife and I knew her in college before she met my brother. She met him during his vicarage. We knew Jean, and we knew what a wonderful Christian lady she was. Why did God let her die? She had a wonderful husband. She had six beautiful children. She's bright. She was a sound theologian. She had the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. And God loved her. So why did the loving God not prevent that terrible disease to take over her? The last time I saw her before she died, she looked and walked and talked like an old woman, even though she was only 41 years old. We pray, Thy will be done. How can we pray this if God's will is bad, but Jean's disease was bad and the manner of her death was bad? And how could a good God, who's an almighty God, permit what is so obviously bad? How should I know? Don't ask me. And don't ask anybody in this world, because nobody can answer your question. Don't ask the philosophers. They don't know. Don't ask the psychics. They haven't got a clue. And don't ask God, because He won't answer. No. The good God, who loves you more than you can ever know, will not answer you when you ask Him to explain Himself. He who will judge the thoughts and intents of everyone's heart will not be put on trial. He is God. And that means He is good and gracious. I know that the good and gracious will of God was done for Jean because she is a child of God. And I know that the good and gracious will of God is done for all of God's children. But I will not know, and you will not know, the love of God by looking at the lives of God's children. We will only know the love of God by looking at the life and death of Jesus. Now, this is a hard lesson to learn. But we must learn it. We cannot know the loving will of our Heavenly Father by looking at the things He does for us in our lives. We cannot know the loving will of our Heavenly Father except by looking at what He does for us in Christ who died and rose again. This is a hard lesson to learn because we would think that God's love for us would become plain enough to us by our experience in living. Now, to a degree, that's true. After all, David writes in Psalm 37, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. On the other hand, the words from the psalm that our Lord Jesus spoke on the cross are often the sentiments of the life of the Christian who cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, these words apply specifically to Jesus when he was forsaken in his suffering on the cross, and yet they appear to apply to us in our lives at times when we lose what we love, when we fail at what we tried so hard to do, when we must go through pain that doesn't make any sense at all. What is God's will for us when we're losing, when we're suffering, when we've lost what we worked so hard to gain, when we lose those we love? What is the good and gracious will of our loving Father when we experience evil, sin, and the cruelties of senseless suffering in our lives? Oh, but God has a plan for you. So say well-intentioned Christians who want us to find somewhere within our lives some kind of evidence that God's love is still intact. Look for God's plan, they say. Seek out His will for you by fervent prayer. Pray, they say, and everything will become clear to you because God wants you to know His will for your life. Is that a fact? Yes, God wants us to know His will as He reveals it in His Word. He wants us to know how He wants us to live. That's why He gave us the Ten Commandments. He wants us to know how He is gracious to us. That's why Jesus came into this world. He is the love of God incarnate. But He who was begotten of His Father before all worlds, in order to bring God's love to us, also says, as recorded by St. John, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:39-40. The will of God for us who look to Jesus in faith is that we have eternal life. It is that we will rise from the grave on the last day and inherit the kingdom of God, prepared for us before time began. The will of God is that we repent of our sins every day and die to them, trusting alone in the blood and righteousness of Jesus our Savior. The will of God is expressed very beautifully in that well-known passage recorded in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But beyond knowing how God wants us to live, and how God wants to bring us forgiveness and salvation through Jesus, what can we know about God's plan for our lives? Is it true that we can learn by means of our prayers what God has chosen not to tell us in His holy word? Or is it not rather true that by means of our prayers we exercise that faith that comes to us only through the word of God? Is it not also true that when God hides things from us, He does so in order to urge us more and more to seek out His will in what He teaches in the Bible and reveals in Christ? You and I don't know everything God wants for us. We cannot know the specifics of what He has in store for us here in this life. But that doesn't mean that we are ignorant of God's will. It means that God wants to direct us to where He enlightens us. When we are puzzled, troubled, or deeply distressed about God's will for us because of what we see and feel and experience in our lives, God directs us to where His will for us is clearly and finally revealed in the suffering of His dear Son. Listen to this account recorded by St. Luke. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. What was the cup of which Jesus prayed? Was it not the cup of all human sin and suffering? Indeed, the very cup of God's wrath and eternal punishment of all sinners? So tell me, what was the Father's will concerning that cup? Who was to drink it? You? Me? Or Jesus? God's will was that Jesus drink the cup. Why? So that you would not have to drink it. When Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done," he entrusted your past, your present, and your future into the gracious hands of your loving Father. For the will of the Father is always also the will of his Son. When Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," he gave to us a promise. His promise was that everything that we needed from the Father would be gained for us. And when we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying to the one whose will it was to require his beloved Son to suffer the damnation that we deserved instead of requiring us to suffer it. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying to the one who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Do we need to know how our problems will be solved, and how our suffering will end, and how we will fare in this or that contingency of life? Of course not. We need only know the one in whose almighty hands our future lies. Knowing him, we also know his good and gracious will. And if in this life we can't always reconcile the pure love and almighty power of our God, we do know that now we see through a glass dimly, but in heaven we see face to face. Now we know only in part, but then we will know even as we have been known. And then we'll see with perfect clarity that God's will for us was always good, and it was always gracious. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of our parish. First Confessional Lutheran Parish is made up of three congregations. We are traditional, Bible-believing Lutheran congregations who teach the little catechism, the Augsburg Confession. We hold to the teaching of the Lutheran Church as it has historically been taught. And we believe at the very center of all divine teaching is God's grace and mercy for sinners in Christ, his dear Son. We're happy to proclaim this on the air, and we also invite you to visit our congregations. We have divine service every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger in Fertile, at 9:30 at Grace in Crookston, and at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Please tune in next Sunday morning, same time, same broadcast, for the next edition of Christ for Us.